Hello and welcome back to the second season of The Soul's Conquest. I'm super excited for you guys to jump on today's episode because we have another special creative from somewhere in this wide, wide world who is about to share their story, their journey, and their soul's conquest. As you listen to this episode, remember that we are here to inspire, we are here to create, and we are here to conquer. Now let's get on with it, shall we? Welcome, Tina, to the Soul's Conquest, the second season of the Soul's Conquest. I'm super excited to have you here. It's an amazing journey, and I'm super excited that you are here to share your journey with the world. Could you tell us a bit more about yourself?
Yeah, talking about oneself is always difficult. I struggle with this because I have very bad imposter syndrome. But I will tell you that I know that I'm a creative. I'm an entrepreneur and a mother, a friend, and a passionate lover.
I think that's all the right things to have in a person. That's amazing. Oh my God, that's amazing. So Tina, I wanted to ask you this. When did you start creating? Like, first of all, before we get into that, could you share what you create?
Yeah, my favorite thing is to create brands. I love creating business. I love helping people with their dreams and making them into reality. So if somebody comes to me and they say, I want to become the most successful shoe designer, but I need a website, I need a brand presence, I just need to get my name and my face out there for people. That's where I come in and I say, okay, well, I'm going to buy into your brand and what you want, and I'm going to help you get there. So helping people with their own self-promotion, I think I'm everybody's cheerleader. It's funny because my friend asked me about being a coach, and I'm like, I hate the word coach. And her and I came up with the term. She actually said, she's like, why don't you call yourself the unicorn mom? Because you're so magical and you're a mom and you're helping people reach their dreams. And that's what unicorns do. So that's where that title came from.
That's a wonderful title. I've always kind of wondered about how you came up with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I want to ask you, why do you create these brands in particular? Like, what made you want to create brands?
Well, when I was about 12, my brother was obsessed with surfing, and we grew up in a town that had a very, like, probably about 4 hours away, there was a surfing beach called Fino.
Right.
And it's located in BC, and he and I would go surfing, and I just fell in love with it. I fell in love with the culture. I cut out every logo and every magazine that he had. I would go sneak down to his bedroom, steal his magazines, go upstairs and cut them out. And he would be pissed. Like, what did you do with my magazines? And I would litter my room full of magazines. And I think it was about a year later when I went surfing again, I realized I hated it. I was super afraid of sharks. And that's when I knew that I didn't fall in love with surfing. I fell in love with the brand of surfing. I fell in love with the lifestyle.
Yeah.
And I've been on a mission to try to figure out how to reproduce that feeling that one gets when they fall in love with a product, a service, a lifestyle, a sport. It doesn't matter what it is that you're passionate about. Like, that's a brand of something. And that's really cool.
Yeah, it is. Could you tell me a bit more about this culture that you are kind of obsessed about? Like, why culture? Why do you want to create this feeling?
Because it feels good. It feels, it just, when you're a part of a community and you feel accepted,
yeah,
and you feel like immersed in this culture where you've identified people as yourself, like you are creative, you identify yourself as a creative. That's why we get along and we feel connected, because you and I are similar. We feel like we're cut from the same cloth because we have similar values. And that's a really cool feeling. You can be in India, I can be in Canada, but we're bonded together. That's special. And that is what tribes are made of, for years, for generations. And we get to recreate that and make that. And that's pretty special.
That is special. Coming to the concept of tribes, what do you feel about that?
Tribes?
Because I love, I can write a book about tribes, but I want to know your perspective about what you feel about tribes.
Yeah, I'm not a tribe expert, that's for sure. Like, history was always kind of boring for me, and I hate saying that because I think it's important that we know. But I do know the fundamentals, and I know that we all desire to belong to a tribe, and that more than ever, tribes and belonging is what helps with our mental health. If we feel isolated or segregated, that's where depression begins. And in order to have this sense of stability, we need to have tribes. We need to have people on our side. We need to feel validated. And it's very important that people feel connected. And that's the area that I really love researching in terms of tribes. So if you want to talk about like tribes from the beginning of time, I mean, you should talk to a scientist and maybe cite somebody who really knows what they're talking about. But it's evident through culture and just the many movements we have that tribes are very important to people in staying connected.
Yeah. What is your kind of thought process? Like, why do you think we as humans crave this connection? Especially like, you see a lot of people talking about tribes and connection, and we are talking about it. So I want you to kind of delve into that, possibly. Like, why is connection so important to you?
It's a good question. Connection, it's that feeling you get when you're sitting with somebody and you're chatting about something that happened to you. So let's say you're working on a project, and you just figured something out. Like, maybe you're a writer, so you like writing. Is that correct?
Yes.
You like writing, and you're coming up with this most amazing article ever. Like, you just really love what you've wrote. But what if you share it and nobody responds to it?
Mm-hmm.
It's like you kind of start doubting yourself, and you think, maybe what I have to say isn't valid. But as soon as you have one person that says, oh my God, I love that you have this piece. I love what you wrote. I love what you said about mental health or whatever it is you spoke about. That feels really good. You've created a connection. And I think humans live for that feeling, that everybody just wants to feel validated and like they matter.
Yeah.
It's important.
It is really important. And, you know, I kind of felt connected to the example that you gave, because that has happened quite a few number of times. Like, I have written this like beautiful post, and I'm like, oh my God, people are going to read it, and they're going to goosebumps and tingly feelings. And like, I keep staring at the stats, and like, people, some are reading, some are not reading, but not a lot of people are responding. And I'm like, maybe I shouldn't have written about this. And you kind of spoke about this in your post recently, that you kind of put up like, why are you afraid to put out your work? And I feel like that is one really important reason for me, because I kind of feel scared if someone doesn't respond, because that means that I'm not able to kind of tap into the nerve that people are kind of, or the way that people are kind of fighting at that moment. But as you said, you know, even if a single person comes up to you and goes like, oh my God, I really love that. And I was like, there you go. That did it. that was the feeling. And yeah, I love it. I love the example that you gave. That was really amazing. I kind of want to ask you, you said that your journey personally kind of started from surfing. And that kind of led you to kind of, you know, learn a bit more about culture and
look into what culture meant for you, and you wanted to create that. But could you talk a bit more about your journey as a creator?
Yeah, absolutely. I was never really good at a lot of things growing up in the academic realm. I was very scared of rejection. I'm just learning about rejection sensitivity dysmorphia, and definitely have that. So learning something new always felt like a big mental hurdle for me when I didn't understand. So where I felt a lot of peace was when I was drawing and creating. Immersing myself in creativity always felt very empowering. I remember sitting at the beach with my mom. I was probably 10 years old, and we would bring the easel and we would have creative freedom to paint whatever we wanted. And there was no wrong answer. It wasn't getting graded, and it just felt good to do whatever we wanted. And that feeling of immersing yourself in something that you have power over and you get to control, there's nothing better than that. So my love for creativity has been there ever since I was born, I guess. I love creativity. I love experiencing anything on the creative side. And I went to design school. I was told that you couldn't be an artist for a living. You've probably seen me post that on my Instagram. I think a lot of people hear that you can't do anything creative. You need to get a real job, become a lawyer, become a doctor. Well, I disagree. I think that there right now is the best time to be a creative. I was listening to a podcast from the owner of Behance, and he was saying how wonderful of a time it is for creatives, and people in all over the world are finding that great design and great creativity is even more valuable than sometimes the accounting department. And that's so exciting to hear, because for a long time we were told that being an artist is like, you're going to be starving, but that's not true anymore. And we have that opportunity. And so that's what fuels me. And I went to design school in a small town, and you know, it was really difficult for me to connect. And I found the Future. I'm sure you're familiar with Future Chris Doe online. Found that community, and it's just amazing what has happened. And then eventually started my own agency with my husband. And we grew from 3 to 150 clients in less than 3 years. And we just skyrocketed, and we're excited. It's been fun.
Yeah, that's amazing. I kind of have a couple of questions from what you told me about your journey. The very first is that, is this right for me to say that for you, creativity is having control about how you're expressing, to have the freedom to express what you want to express? Is that right for me to say? Because that's kind of what it puts together from what you were saying. And if it is, would you like to expand a bit more?
Well, typically, like, yes, but I mean, we'd have to create for clients too. So there are some limitations, and there's a goal. So creativity with a client. So if this is strictly a monetization side of creativity, so if you're working with a client and you're doing creativity for money, you have to think about what the client's objectives and needs are. But then outside of that, you can do whatever you want. There's no limitation on how to get to that objective and goal. It's just, maybe the client owns a dental practice and they said, you know, we want a logo for our dental practice. We really like the color orange. Can you create something? Well, we can create whatever we want using those parameters. And that's awesome. Well, when you are just a sole artist making money for yourself, you can absolutely create whatever you want. Can be a little bit more of a challenge to get there. But it is possible, and there are people who are doing it.
That's amazing. That's an amazing answer. And I kind of want to I wanted to ask you, so you spoke a bit about creating for money and creating for yourself. What are the pros and cons according to you for that? I know you spoke a bit about this in the previous answer, but could you expand a bit more on that if possible?
Yeah. So creating for someone else, the pros, you're not emotionally attached as much to the work because this is something that someone's asked of you and it's not your baby. You didn't come up with this idea. You're just helping the client get to what it is they want. So for example, going back to the logo example, someone comes to me, I want a logo. I have a dental practice. Create something for me. Okay, I'm going to create it. If you don't like it, maybe I'll be a little bit sad, but we'll figure out a way to make it perfect. Now, if they don't like it, that's their baby and they're going to be a little bit more emotional than I am because this is something that they really care about deeply and this is something they really want. So that can be a pro or a con. Having that sensitivity to someone else is extremely important. Like you hear a lot in the community where people are like, the client's the enemy. Like, I don't want to work with you if you think that I'm the enemy. If you work under me, like I want you to be on my team and think that I am only going to speak highly of you and like you want me to win because it's such a vulnerable place creating for someone else.
Right.
And so I guess the cons working for someone is you don't necessarily have 100% creative freedom. So that control you don't necessarily have because that's someone else paying you. So those are the two things I can think of. So the pros for creating for yourself, you can do what you want and you can do it when you want, how you want, for how long. And there's nobody babysitting you or telling you what to do. Now, the con to that is you have to have very, very strong self-discipline. If you can't motivate yourself to get it done, you can't do that. My good friend, Sarah Malik, she's amazing. Like she creates her own art and it's pictures of herself. And she paints them, but she's super diligent. She does it every day and she doesn't take time off. Same with, what's his name? James Martin.
Right.
Every day he's putting out work. Every single day you have to keep doing it in order to sustain. So you have to have a very, very high level of self-discipline.
Wow. That was a huge answer. I want to ask you, is it important for the creator to have, to be emotionally attached to their work? How important is that? And can it be a negative role in being too emotionally attached to your work?
Yeah. It can be. It can be very hard because when you're too emotional about your work, you're less receptive to feedback.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not taking feedback, then you can't improve. So you always stay at the same level.
Yeah. I want to ask you, when you receive feedback, where do you draw the line as to if this is negative criticism or if it is constructive criticism? Because as creators, every time we receive criticism, irrespective of what kind of criticism it is, we kind of go all defensive and don't want to kind of listen to it. So how important is it for a... Yeah, I'm kind of butchering up this question a little bit.
No, I get what you're saying. So I actually had a conversation with Chris Doe about this a long time ago, and he mentioned that like people don't want to hear feedback.
Yeah.
And I didn't really understand what he meant until I learned about, again, this like rejection dysphoria, because most people are very sensitive.
Yeah.
I'm very sensitive. Like, I really want to do a good job for you. I want to make sure this is the best podcast you've ever listened to and you've ever had, because I want you to do really well and I want to do a good job for you. But if I find out that I did a bad job, now I'm causing pain on you. So I think if we have this mindset, like, this person really wants to do a good job for you, then we are less likely to make someone feel like they're criticized. So I think knowing, like, most people aren't trying to say something to criticize you. It's because they want less pain for themselves. But it's right. It's really hard to what's the word I'm looking for? It's really hard to figure out if it is criticism or if it's feedback. And I think you always have to have the mentality and the mindset that this is feedback. Like, it's not a personal attack on you as an individual. This is just feedback, because the person that sees what you're doing or reads what you're doing doesn't connect with it. So the more you can connect with them and make them feel like a priority, the less likely you're going to feel criticized, because now you're really listening and trying to empathize with the person. But it's hard to do it, and it takes years of practice. It really does. So I think if you are feeling rejected, if you're one of those people that's struggling with this rejection and you're scared to show your work, you're scared to work with clients because you don't know what they're going to say, like, just know a lot of other creatives, a lot of other people struggle with that. You're not alone. It's a very difficult feeling. It hurts, like, physically when someone rejects you. And just be kind to yourself and know that this isn't a personal attack. It's just a communication issue.
Wow, that was beautiful, because I was going to ask you what tip you would give to someone who's listening and who's starting out regarding how they should be looking at feedback. And you kind of answered that right off the bat. So thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Yeah. So what do you hope to achieve before starting a new project for your client? Like, when you're working for a brand, what is it that you hope to achieve before starting?
A great question. So it's when a client comes to us, they typically have a reason. And so we own a marketing agency, and people will typically come to us because they need help getting leads, so more clients. So let's say it's a construction client who has a construction business with a team of 500, and they know that they need to they're busy. They don't have time to do their marketing themselves, but they know they need it. They'll come to us and they'll let us know that. They'll say, I need a website. I need help with marketing. That's their objective. We figure out what their goals are for the next 1 to 3 years. And then we start building a strategy and a brand, a website, and a campaign around that goal.
Right. So you're kind of, what you hope to achieve is basically to help the other person or your client achieve their goals. And what do you hope for the people who view your project will feel like post completion? So I want you to kind of answer this both from a client's perspective as well as the client's perspective.
Okay. So what was the first part of that question?
What do you hope for the people who are viewing your project or the brand that you have created to feel like post-production?
What do I hope that they see?
Yes. What do they look at? When they look at a brand, what do you hope that they feel, or what do you hope that...
That's a great question. I think they should feel a connection to it. If they don't feel a connection to it, if it's a client and it's their brand, then we need to go back to the drawing board. Then we need to figure out a way to make it connected. So either we need to make a change or we need to work together. So we had a client come in, Rightworks Contracting. they asked for a brand. So we created some concepts for them. We created a logo. We created a strategy, and we presented it to them, and they weren't happy. So they came in, we sat down for 4 hours, and turns out that they just wanted to feel included and in control. We created something that they really loved. We worked together. It was not a traditional way of working, but because they were able to come in and feel a part of it and feel connected, they now value it as their own.
Oh, and why do you think is it important? Or before I jump into that question, is this something that you will continue for future, that is bringing the client in and having them feel like they are a part of the project?
Yeah, I think it's really important. I think it's very vulnerable. It's very vulnerable for people to put themselves out there and have somebody else interpret who they are. So it's like, if you wanted to design a logo for me, so if I asked you to design a logo for me, the way you see me is going to be different than the way I see myself. And if I don't like the way you see me, or if I don't feel connected to it, I'm not going to feel in control. Does that make sense?
It makes sense. It makes a lot of sense. I want to ask you, why is it important for you as a creator and as someone who is heading a marketing agency right now, that people who view your project feel that connection? Now, you have spoken this from your perspective when you were little. For you, connection means a lot. But why is it important that your, or the people who are viewing your project also feel that connection?
It's important for people to feel the connection, because I mean, the purpose of the project is to get more business. So if there's no connection, and I feel like I'm kind of speaking to myself right now, like you're inspiring me through this conversation, because you're so right. Like, people just want to feel connected. And it kind of comes back to what we talked about tribes and the culture. Like, if the brand speaks that feeling and the connection that the person was looking for, then we've done our job. But if it's flat and it doesn't speak that, then we've missed the mark. So it's very important for people to feel connected. So that's why testing is really important.
Yeah, that's amazing. I want to ask you, you said that in your journey, you started off, you went to a design school. It was a pretty kind of a small town kind of a thing. So what were some of the obstacles that you faced during that part of your journey and later on as a creator?
So you're talking about obstacles at the beginning of my journey to later as a creator?
Yeah.
I think we're always, as young people, we're kind of in a rush to hurry up and learn and get ahead as fast as we can. And in that process of learning and trying to create, we start overthinking, and the things that we love become work, and they become difficult because we're no longer having fun because we're just trying to race to the top.
Yeah.
And we lose that edge. We lose that spark that we had, our first love.
Yeah.
And I would say it's very important to always have that heart of love for what it is you do, because as soon as that goes away, it's going to show in your work and you're not going to have fun. And though you're struggling to try to get to the top, you're going to go to the bottom fast because you've lost it. So just trying to stay in touch with yourself and the reason why you're doing it, and staying vulnerable and staying, like, losing your ego. So just letting go and being a continuous learner and being happy and having fun is so important. Like, have fun. That's the best thing you can do. The more fun you're having, the more likely you're going to create the stuff you love.
I completely agree with that. Did you face any obstacles during your journey which made you feel like you wanted to give up? that made you want to lose the spark or just gonna, you know, just want to give up and do something else?
Ugh, all the time.
Oh my gosh. Yeah? Is that right?
Yeah, of course. I mean, if a client calls and they're upset, yeah, or if we lose a project to somebody else, or if I feel like I'm falling behind on my work, on my emails, I have like 700 emails in my inbox, it's bad. And yeah, I'm like, I don't know if I can do this anymore. I don't know if I want to do it. Like, I can't keep up. I feel like I'm not winning. So it's a mindset decision every day, and it's a challenge. Like, it just, it, that feeling just, it never goes away. And my husband was saying this to me the other day. He's like, happiness is not a destination. Like, it's a choice. And it's very important to choose happiness. Like, you're never going to feel 100% satisfied. It's just not in our nature. Unless you're like a Buddhist monk. I don't even know if that's true or not. I mean, we hear that. But I also think that's part of a brand and a culture. So, like, we can talk about that another time. So just really just trying to have fun, I would say, is like the most important thing for me in order to not feel like my job sucks.
Yeah. No, that makes a lot of sense. And I kind of want to add a bit more onto that. You know, I feel like, you know, even right now, there are a lot of times when I'm chasing happiness, right? Because it's a destination. I'm chasing happiness. I'm running behind it. I'm trying to do all these things to feel happy. And I feel like a lot of times in that chase, we kind of forget that a lot of things that we are having right now that constitutes happiness. That kind of describes what happiness is. For me, let's say, like, I want to have like this big place. I want to have like a nice small house with a big farm kind of thing so that my mom enjoys her gardening and stuff like that, and have my studio and things like that. And that is one version of what happiness means to me. But if I just keep chasing that, I will forget that happiness also means spending time with my family. And if I'm always running towards that goal of achieving that dream, I'll not spend time with my family, inadvertently kind of taking away my own happiness because I'm chasing this thing that might happen. You know, like, let's be optimistic, like, that might happen. But in that chase, I do want not to kind of forget where I am from, like, live in the present. And that's really important for me. So, yeah.
It's important. Yeah, you're right. It's super important to choose family, and family should always come first. And I think a lot of people struggle with finding that balance and where they fit in. I know I do. Like, I love my family to death, but I also love working. I love creating, and there needs to be some sort of balance. I've been trying to integrate creating and family. I started a TikTok page for my daughter. She's obsessed with cats. So I'm like, what if I taught her creativity at such a young age, and we bond over this? So then now we have something to do together. And now it's a win-win. Get to hang out with family and be creative.
That's an amazing thing. Oh my gosh. I love it. I want to speak about two things right now. For someone who's starting out, what's a good mindset to have? Like, for a creative who's starting out right now, what's a good mindset to have around their own self as well as their creation?
Put on the mindset of a detective. Someone who is trying to find an answer to a problem. And they need to look in multiple places. They need to experience other people's point of views. They need to talk to a lot of different experts in order to solve this problem. And the more you look at it as detective work and something that you can get to through learning and through information, you're going to have a lot of fun. So gamifying your time as a creative, because now it's less about you and the emotion and more about exploration and becoming this detective who finds this like hidden treasure, who creates something that nobody could find. Like it's so fun when you can make it a game, and I'm into fantasy stuff. So like, I like it. I like making it fun. And the more you can kind of mind, like hack your mind and make it fun, the more likely you're going to create amazing pieces of work. So also if you need support, reach out. That's typically like my jam. If I'm struggling, reach out. Don't wait till you're at rock bottom before you reach out to somebody. Please, please. There are so many people in our community who also suffer from what you're going through, who can really empathize with you. And, you know, they're only a device away. So just please reach out. And that's probably what I would conclude with.
Oh, curiouser and curiouser. I love that. I love the detective mindset that you spoke of. It is really important to always be in search of something new that will help you progress, but will allow you to stay in touch with your spark as well. Because I feel like you find this one shiny diamond and then you sit with that diamond for the rest of your life. Versus you find other shiny pieces of gold and gems and stuff like that, that will keep you in touch and that will make you feel excited as a creator. That's really important. You know? Thank you for sharing that. Yeah.
You're welcome.
What's an important thing, or what does balance mean? And how can creatives who are starting out right now include that balance in their life? Or what should they be balancing? If that makes sense?
Yeah. When you're just starting out, there isn't a lot of balance. You have to work long hours. I'm sorry. I'm just going to tell you the truth.
Yeah.
Like 12, 15 hour days are pretty normal if you're just starting out and there isn't a lot of balance. But what you can do is you can have a lot of fun when you do have fun. So I really liked playing Pictionary. I know this is kind of lame, but... Like just doing something really fun, creative. Maybe when things start opening up, you can go to a festival, like something that has a lot of like dopamine infused in it. So you're really rewarding yourself for the amount of hard work you've done, but in a positive way. So whatever, maybe it's an extreme sport you enjoy doing, something that's going to bring you a lot of joy. Maybe you have a family gathering and you spend time with your best friend. So rather than just being alone on the weekend because it feels like you need to recover, I would challenge you to be with others, do something that's really positive, eat well, feed yourself. Don't just like work and eat crap, because your mental health is going to go down really quickly.
Mm-hmm. I want to ask you this, as this is a spiritual podcast, I think it would be really awesome if you could share if you have any spiritual or self-care routines that you kind of follow while you are working on a project.
I do a lot of breathing exercises. Mm-hmm. When I'm feeling overwhelmed, I'll do something called box breathing.
Right.
It's where you breathe in for four and you hold for four and you let out for four and you hold for four. So just these continuous breathing exercises that kind of take you out of this really high-pitched frequency in your head and ground you a little bit. So I try to change my state before I start something new.
Wow, that's amazing. What was one of your soul's conquest? Because this podcast is called Soul's Conquest. What was one of your soul's conquest, and what is shaping up to be your current conquest?
Oh, that's a great question. Helping the underdog win. I want to help people that struggle with their self-confidence, especially young people. I mean, anybody really. I struggled with my confidence growing up. And I know how much it meant to me to have those people in my life who supported me. So I want to be that for you, for anybody who really needs a friend, who needs a support, who needs somebody to just believe in them. That's it. That's what I want.
That's beautiful. What is the one thing that you would like to leave my listeners with? Like the one ending statement there.
Keep listening to this podcast.
That's beautiful. Yeah, thank you so much for being here. It was amazing having you here. This conversation was amazing. I wish I was there in Canada right now so that we could have
it. I know, me too. I would love to have you here. And you're such a beautiful person. Cam always talks about you. And you're so loved by the community. And I think you're doing an amazing job. And I'd love to talk to you more. Let's just keep chatting on Instagram. I think that it's amazing what you're doing. And you made me feel very special. And you're a very special human. So thank you.
Thank you so much for joining me in today's podcast.
Thank you.
Hey, Conquerors. Thank you for staying here till the end. I hope that you enjoyed today's episode, today's story, and today's journey. If you did, please feel free to rate and review me on Apple Podcasts or reach out to me at Instagram at Madhurima, that is MADHURIMA_soulcoach. Feel free to take a screenshot of the newest episode release, tag me, and put it up on your story with your review so that I can feature you on my Instagram. It would be my honor to do that. It would be my honor to share your perspective on what you thought of this beautiful podcast. Remember, we are here to inspire. We are here to create. We are here to conquer. See you. Bye.